I'm David Marcus, host of Drinks with the Deal, and today our guest is PK Perron, a corporate partner specializing in insurance M&A at Wilkie Farr & Gallagher in New York. PK, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to speak with you, David.
So we're going to talk about your career arc on today's podcast. Earlier in your career, you spent a year working in the Department of Corrections in Madison, Wisconsin. You then took a more traditional corporate route in London. You then moved about 5 years ago to New York and changed firms. So we'll talk about that transition and the challenges of building a cross-border M&A practice and a cross-border M&A team specializing in insurance. So with that, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the law.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey. I started off with an interest in law, I think, because I was quite interested in debating competitions and public speaking at school and then through university. Initially, I was a little bit more focused on advocacy and criminal law, hence that work experience, that legal exchange program that I did in Madison, Wisconsin, which was a phenomenal experience. I really didn't know much about Wisconsin, if I'm honest, but it was very positive. Some great people. Love the Green Bay Packers. They've stuck with me ever since. But the criminal law just wasn't for me. Speaking openly, I just didn't have the stomach for it. I was in the legal counsel there at a very young age, and I was exposed to some serious cases. And I just found that difficult. So corporate law was appealing in a different way. I didn't really understand so much about it, but the more I learned, the more fascinating I found it, and it was very challenging. And I had options to be a specialist in intellectual property and some other areas, but it was the M&A side of things that really I found most interesting, you know, and we went from there.
And so insurance M&A is a specialized practice for many, many lawyers within M&A. How did you migrate from a generalist corporate practice into insurance M&A?
I was, yeah, absolutely, you're right, a more general corporate lawyer doing a broad cross-section of private equity, M&A, and capital markets work. This was in London for a very traditional, or you might say old school, firm. In fact, back then we had butlers, which was interesting, but they weren't a specialist firm in insurance. Why that came about was, I think it was around 2005, 2006. There were a lot of US headquartered law firms that came into the London market in a very dynamic way, some would say aggressive way. And one of these firms, Dewey & LaBeouf, had a great strength in the insurance industry and in energy. And I spoke with them. It was a great opportunity. But I also said to them, I don't have a lot of experience in insurance. And David, they told me it wouldn't be a problem. And ultimately, it wasn't a problem. But initially, it was quite the learning curve because it was a different language, very specialized issues, a very significant regulatory overlay or intersection in the deal work. But the benefits were it separated me from a lot of other lawyers in the market. And also, even though it's a very significant industry, there's a lot of capital, it's actually quite a tight network. So if you do a good job within that industry as a lawyer, you quickly gain a reputation and people recommend you. And that's what happened to me initially in the London market. And that really appealed to me because I'm also quite a people person. And the insurance industry is a real people business.
And so talk about your transition from Dewey LaBeouf around 12 years ago, as that firm ran into significant challenges and ultimately dissolved.
Yeah, it did. And that was a shock to all of us. A great firm, LaBeouf, Lamb, Green & McRae, was the firm that I joined before the merger, which had that real depth of experience and a top-tier practice in the insurance industry. And I was lucky enough to have options as the firm was unfolding. And one of those options was at a firm where they weren't known for insurance transactions. They did other things in the space like regulatory work and litigation. And I had the opportunity to bring a small team to their London office and essentially build the practice. And that just appealed to me. You could say I was a little naive at the time, but I think it's the best decision I made. So a less mature firm in the area that I'm now specialized in, but it gave me the opportunity to start building a practice at a very young age. I think at the time I must have been, you know, under 40.
Talk about the cross-border nature of insurance and then the challenges of building a team within a firm to work on those transactions.
Well, first of all, it's really enjoyable, right? So it's not easy, but it's really enjoyable, and it's probably not for everyone. But two of the key centers for a cross-border practice are the US, New York in particular, and London. Now also Singapore in Asia. And between those two stools, you can do a lot of work across the globe. So it's almost like, David, having centers of excellence in two key financial centers and then managing other local law firms. And that's a real art, but managing them, being proactive with them, building a relationship. Sometimes that can be within a firm's own network of offices, like it was at my previous firm. And sometimes you rely on other independent law firms that have great strength and quality in that market. I think the key to it is really understanding the difference in culture and not always looking at things just through a US lens or a UK lens. Take all that knowledge and experience you've got in London and in New York, but you just have to realize that the lawyers and even the client on the ground in those markets operate in a very different way. And there are different regulations, different culture. And if you understand that and appreciate it and you test the advice in the right way, and yet at the same time, you know what the headquarters may want of your client in New York or London or Zurich or Bermuda or wherever it is where these M&A transactions are emanating from, then you can achieve real success on a cross-border deal.
Talk about what it's like to work with the longstanding players in the industry, you know, many of which are large corporations with extraordinarily stable, not just executive teams, but even mid and lower level executive teams.
It's a real pleasure because these groups can be very sophisticated. I've learned a lot from working with large global corporates. So that's the benefits. There are sometimes some real challenges in ensuring that all stakeholders that really contribute to the success of a transaction come together in the right way. And there are lots of these stakeholders within a global corporation. So that, again, is something that you help the client manage, but it's really interesting. And these groups have their own cultures, and sometimes they have many cultures. You know, if I take Zurich Insurance Group as a group that I've done a lot of work with, great people, very sophisticated, and I've learned a lot from them. And I'd like to think that I've also added value to their strategic transactions.
Talk about the increased presence of private equity sponsors in insurance. Give us just a sketch of that development over the last 10 years or so and how that's affected the market, especially in life and property and casualty insurance generally.
Yeah, you've picked up on a really significant trend, David, that's been going on for a number of years, but we've seen real acceleration of that in the last few years. And that's because of a couple of things, I think, or a few very significant factors. One is just the growth of the buy-side community, the private equity community's interest in insurance businesses. And maybe this goes back to Warren Buffett and what he's done with Berkshire Hathaway, but this understanding that insurance companies have a huge amount of assets afloat that can be invested in perhaps more effective ways than is currently the case. There can be a different sort of risk profile with private equity players, and To be frank, some of these private equity players and sponsors, that's their business, right? Is asset management, and they do it very, very well. So there's been this increased interest in that regard from private equity firms. And at the same time, due to changes in capital or strategic direction by insurance groups, there's been a desire to dispose of or transfer certain books of business, insurance portfolios, or companies that these private equity firms are really interested in, not just because of the underlying business, but because of the asset management play. And so there's countless examples I can really give you, but Blackstone, Carlyle, Sixth Street, they've all been very interested and focused on the life and annuity space. But there's also been a lot of private equity firms that have been focused more on fee income and broker businesses. So I've seen, and our group has seen, huge amount of activity from private equity firms in the insurance industry. Obviously, it's a different culture, different way of doing things sometimes than global corporates like you just talked about. And that's fascinating, you know, and it's different. But there's also sort of a different regulatory dynamic, and that needs to be managed. So it's all a challenge, but ultimately, you know, it's very satisfying to help clients of different types, whether global groups or private equity firms, achieve their strategic objectives.
Talk about your move to New York about 5 years ago from London.
My move from London to New York has been fantastic, but it has been intense, I would say, David, because it's very comfortable in London. You know, I knew that market very well, deep team. In more recent years, and with this move to New York, I've really had to get out of my comfort zone. It's establishing a new network, understanding how things are done differently in the US. But once now I've done that, joining that up with all of that experience and the teams that we have in London has been great. Now, what didn't help was, or what made it a little more stressful, is that I moved in 2019, had a full year before COVID hit. And I moved to New York with my family, which at that point was my wife and young daughter. And little Ashton, my youngest, was born in New York. But it, you know, they're very young. And so when COVID happened and we went into lockdown, we were hunkered down in Manhattan and for a few months. And that was very, very challenging. But as soon as restrictions were lifted and life went back to some sort of normality, I got to enjoy one of the greatest cities in the world. And I'm fortunate enough to have experienced and spent a lot of time in London. And now I live in New York, still spending a significant amount of time in London. And I feel I'm very lucky because they're two of the most exciting and diverse cities in the world.
Talk about your move to Wilkie a couple of years ago. And I guess maybe compare it to earlier moves in your career. How do you think about which firm is right at a given point? And what are you looking for?
So very different things. If we go back to the question you asked me around, you know, that move from Julien Leboeuf to my former firm, it was driven by an opportunity that was around building a practice from scratch. And my move to Wilkie was not about building a practice from scratch, because for one, me and my team had already built a significant practice with a significant cross-border element to it, a significant London element to it. And Wilkie are one of the leading insurance, M&A, and transactional regulatory firms in the world with a very significant team in the US. So it was more about what I could bring to the table, what the team could bring to the table. And that was, you know, expanding our international and cross-border capability, but also making sure it was the right cultural fit. You know, if I'm honest, David, like when I initially moved back in the day, whenever it was 12 years ago, I made that first sort of big law firm move, I didn't diligence culture as much. You know, I didn't really understand the workings of a law firm. I have a much better understanding of that now. And so a lot more time was spent with firm management, particularly the two co-chairmen, around the firm's strategy, the firm's culture, I met many more people. That was really, really important because I knew Wilkie Farr and Gallagher were one of the best firms in the world at what I do.
Well, and then so a couple of follow-ups. One, contrasting that with a move you made as an associate, that's just very different because as an associate, your focus is just much narrower, I would assume.
Correct. And I moved as an associate, but also with still a focus on business development. You know, I did that at a very young age when I first moved to Julien Leboeuf, but it was more around the technical skill set that you need in execution of deals. Now, fast forward to just a couple of years ago when I joined Wilkie Farr and Gallagher, it's much more around the practice as a whole, client relationships, and the combined strategy between me and my team and what the management wanted to do in terms of the growth of the insurance transactional practice at Wilkie Farr and Gallagher, and less about your skill set in terms of drafting documents or negotiating. Of course, you have to be a top caliber lawyer to get to where we get to. But when you're making these moves, I think most firms are taking that almost for granted. And they're really looking at the business side of things and also the cultural side of things.
And then turning it around, when you yourself are talking to lawyers you might want to bring onto your team, what are you looking for depending on their level of seniority?
Across the board, and this is just my personal perspective, across the board, whether you are, you know, a student coming into the law, you're an associate or you're a senior partner, the right cultural fit and attitude. I believe we do better as a team. And so I think that is first and foremost a requirement. At the partner level, then it becomes sometimes more around, you know, synergies with relationships or bringing new relationships to the table. There might be with some senior lawyers a real specialism. Have they got a life reinsurance specialism that not a lot of other firms have? That might be something that we then hone in on and really test more. So it really depends on the level, and it is very, very different in that context with lateral hiring.
So you still have, to some extent, practices in both London or clients in both London and New York. What is your average month look like?
There is no average month. Really isn't. Yeah, I don't have a set amount of time that I spend in London or the US. I have my family based in New York, and that is important that I am very conscious of that and spend enough time at home. But I would say I'm in London probably once every couple of months, but I'm also in Zurich. I'm also in Bermuda. I'm also in Munich. These are other key financial centers. It's just that there's a real talent pool of lawyers that do what I do in London and New York in those two financial centers that manage transactions all over the world. So it pays to absolutely spend time in both places with the teams doing the deals and with the clients, but it's not just London and New York. It's also a number of other key financial centers where our clients are headquartered.
You, of course, moved to New York, you know, about the middle of your career. You'll talk about, which is challenging, but it must also have really been energizing and helped keep the job fresh for you at a stage in many people's careers where they may be looking for another challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did it for a couple of reasons. First, because our business needed to do that. We needed to grow in the US, and our view was, and my personal view was, we do not have a global practice unless we crack the US. So there was definitely a big business driver. But on a personal level, maybe it goes back to those Department of Corrections days, right? I had an affinity for the US. I love a new experience. To live and work in New York was really, really appealing. So that was all positive, and it gave me a new challenge, because you do a certain amount of M&A transactions in the London market with European clients, and you do get used to it. It's nice. You get very, very comfortable doing it with US clients, US deals with teams of US and sometimes international lawyers, very different dynamic and challenging. But I love that, you know, and I'm still learning. And that's what I want. In some ways, I don't want to be comfortable.
Talk about finally your life outside of work, how you try to maintain some balance.
Well, family is really important to me. And that's been the hardest thing with the move, even though I've moved my small young family to New York. My parents, my brother, his kids, close friends of mine are still in London. With the nature of my practice, I still get to see them. So I'm very conscious on spending time with family, whether that's just going out for nice meals when I'm back together, getting together. That's important. But also I'm a big sports fan. Right, that's a real passion for me, whether it's playing it or watching it. So I love both types of football, the real football, as I call it, soccer, as you call it in the US, and then American football, as we call it in the UK. Love the NFL, but really all sports. And having Madison Square Garden on my doorstep, oh, it's amazing. I love it. And then I started picking up sport and actually playing sport a little bit now. Sort of as I've got older, I've re-engaged with a couple of sports. Golf is the obvious one. Beautiful courses, a lot of clients play it. So I'm playing more golf. But the one I did not see coming was something called pickleball. Never played tennis. It's kind of like a short version of tennis, maybe cross between that and ping pong, table tennis, and badminton. But it's really addictive, fun sport. And you normally play it in a doubles format. And there's a great amount of strategy and teamwork to it, which I love. I've always been someone that enjoys more of the team sports, and pickleball can be a team sport in that double format. And you also get to play it in the sun as well. And the weather's so good here in the summer and the fall. It's really enjoyed.
EK, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure speaking to you.
For Drinks with a Deal, I'm David Marcus.